the most crucial time, probably, in all the life of the work of God in the Old Testament is the time around which our text revolves tonight. Elijah had just been taken up to heaven in a whirlwind in a chariot. Elisha, up until now, had done little more than be the servant, the minister of Elijah. Now then, Elijah is taken up into heaven, and his mantle falls, and it is taken by Elisha. When this power came with this mantle, Elisha was not met by bands of welcoming angels, but rather by the swelling tide of the angry Jordan River that refused to let him cross to the field of his future ministry. Between Elisha and his field of future ministry was the angry Jordan River, unusually so, with a swelling tide. But wait. Here's God's man. He has the mantle of Elijah. He's untested. He's unproved. He's on the other side of the Jordan. They got there because Elijah had taken his mantle and smitten the Jordan River. The Jordan River said, I guess I better part because that's God's man. And so the Jordan River parted. Now he's taken up from the heliport there on the other side of the Jordan. And Elisha has his mantle. He looks back to where he's supposed to go to serve and sees the raging tide of the swollen River Jordan. And he raises the mantle to smite the river to see what's going to happen. Elijah, just a while ago, had taken that same mantle and smitten that river. And the river said, I guess I better part. Now, Elisha's got to get back over. The only hope he's got is for that river to part as it did for Elijah. But wait. Somebody's watching. It says that he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. They said, good night, there's another just like that other fellow. And they parted. And this little line is my text tonight. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him. When the sons of the prophets saw him. I mean, the preacher boy said, what's going to happen to this fellow? I mean, our leader's gone, and now his mantle has fallen on Elisha, and they said, wonder what's going to happen. And the Bible says, when the sons of the prophets, which were to view Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The future's at stake. All that Elijah has done is on the line. The future of their movement is at stake. Can you imagine how Elisha must have felt? Can you imagine how he must have prayed? Can you imagine the responsibility that rested upon Elisha's shoulders as he faced the Jordan River from the other side with Elijah gone? He looks at the storm of Jordan. He remembers what Elijah did. He sees the preacher boys. They're watching him. Their confidence in him is at stake. Their fellowship of him is at stake. He takes the mantle. He raises the mantle. A holy hush settles over the scene. Elisha smites the Jordan, and the waters part. And the preacher boys say, the same spirit that was on Elijah is upon him. And fundamentalism in that day was saved. But the reason is the hope was not just in Elisha. The hope was in those preacher boys. But the preacher boys' confidence in the old-time religion of Elijah is at stake when they see Elisha holding high that mantle. Now, observations, and here's the sermon. Young preachers are watching First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Young ministerial students, some who like us and some don't. Some in universities that have made fun of us lately. Brother, they're watching us. I mean, let's just stick it down their throat. And they're hoping the First Baptist Church of Hammond will crumble. And the young preachers are watching us. Young liberal preachers and your liberal colleges and your neo-evangelical crowd, compromisers, pussyfooters, ear ticklers, back scratchers, they're watching us. I mean, let's just jam it down their throat and say, we'll show you. Some of these ministerial students, by the way, if you'd read farther along, some of these ministerial students were doubters. In fact, some said, we want to go look for Elijah. Give us a few days and let us go look for Elijah. Maybe he wasn't taken all the way to heaven. Maybe he was dropped on some mountain somewhere. Let us go look for him. I'm simply saying that the doubting ministerial students and the liberal ministerial students and the new evangelical ministerial students are looking at First Baptist Church of Hammond tonight to see what's going to happen. But by the grace of God, God's promise is, upon the rock of Jesus, he'll build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Young preachers are watching us. That isn't all. Our own preacher boys are watching us. Our own preacher boys. They're looking home to see what's going to happen. They're watching the old home church to see if it's going to crumble. They're watching the old home preacher to see if he's going to quit and turn back. They're watching you to see what you're going to do. And their hopes of the future rest upon us. We've got to keep on going. We've got to give it our best. We've got to win this battle. We've got to keep on rising. We've got to keep on growing. We've got to keep on reaching people. There's more to it than one church here. There are thousands and thousands of preacher boys who have their eyes on the First Baptist Church of Hammond tonight. And many of those are our own boys. They're watching us. They're watching what we do. They want to. And by the way, they're defending us. Let's prove to them that their defense is worthwhile. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Still praying as we onward bound. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Let's tell those boys out there that grew up in our Sunday school, that were in our nursery one time, our beginner department, our primary department, our junior high school, who came to Vacation Bible School, who went to Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist High School, and Junior High School, who went to Hiles Anderson College. Let's look tonight across the world to our missionary boys on the foreign field, to Dave Carter in Japan, and all of our missionaries on the foreign field. And let's say to them, the old First Baptist Church is alive and well, and your home church is going to make it. Raise your spirits and raise your confidence. God is still moving at the First Baptist Church at Hammond. Not only are our own preacher boys that grew up here watching, as those young preacher boys watched Elisha. Elijah's gone. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen to the old church? What's going to happen to our movement? What's going to happen to fundamentalism? Some of these young preacher boys are watching, are skeptical, and some are not. Some are hoping Elisha will part the waters of the Jordan, and some hope he doesn't part the waters of the Jordan. Some are hoping and praying for his success, and some are hoping and praying for his failure. I say not only tonight are those skeptical preacher boys watching us. I'm talking about colleges that are fundamental colleges that love to see the old-time gospel of Hiles Anderson College die. I'm talking about those that don't believe in our amens and our informal services and our street preaching and house-to-house call winning, soul winning, and the old-time religion. Even some fundamental stuff shirts are hoping that we won't make it. By the grace of God, we've got to make it. They're watching us. They're watching us. Elisha raises that mantle. He sees that raging Jordan River swollen beyond its banks. And Elisha says, this has got to work. It's got to work. And the whole weight of a world rests upon Elisha's shoulders. And you'll forgive me for saying this. The weight of this country rests upon these two shoulders right here tonight. And Elisha raised that mantle and he smashed the Jordan River. And those preacher boys watch. And all of a sudden the Jordan River parts. And they say, well, the same spirit that was on Elijah is upon Elisha. It isn't all. Not only our own preacher boys, but our Hiles Anderson College graduates. You don't understand it. They don't see this great crowd here tonight. They don't see the folks flocking down these aisles receiving Christ during invitation time. They're out there on the field somewhere, some little remote place, and they've heard every kind of a rotten story under the sun. They've heard every lie the devil and mischief can make up. And they've heard it. I'm not kidding you. The worst is yet to come, folks. Don't get upset right now. If you get mad now, you'll kill somebody after a while, I'll tell you for sure. I'm saying, I have put up with it as long as I plan to put up with it. I have let the enemy, I've let them talk, I've not talked back, I've let them stand up in Sunday school classes here at First Baptist Church and cut me down and cut this church down and cut that college down. And brother, it's happened for the last time. I mean, they've called my name in front of their Sunday school classes. I'm calling their name in front of this church. And you sit still and get ready for it, because here it comes. There's not a man in America been more patient than I've been for the last few years. Not a man. Not a preacher in this country would take what I've taken the last few years. But I am not, and I will not, let this church be destroyed by a bunch of gossips and long-tongued scandalizers and manure spreaders and get by with it. I won't do it. If I go down, I'll go down fighting. I won't go down as a wimp. I'll go down fighting. I'm saying that our boys around the world, our Hiles Anderson College graduates, they hear the garbage that's being spread. And they wonder if it's true, some of them. They know the lies about my character not true, but they wonder how the church is taking it. They don't hear your amens. They don't see the bus routes rolling. They don't see the great crowds coming in. I'm simply saying tonight, they're watching us. Now, I'll be honest with you. Most of them, their very ministry is at stake tonight. Their members are watching to see what happens here, because they want to know what kind of college turned these boys out. I'm simply saying there's more to this thing than a big crowd. We've got a world that's watching us tonight, and we've got to succeed. We've got to keep on going. We cannot turn back. We've got to give it all we have. Our young Hiles Anderson College boys that once sat here and once sat in the chapel at Hiles Anderson College, and they felt the spirit of this church. They're wondering tonight if that spirit will continue. By the grace of God, it will continue. By the grace of God, we shall not be defeated. By the grace of God, the old church will keep on rolling on. The hordes of hell have attacked this church for 101 years, but thank God we have the promise of Jesus Himself of divine perpetuity, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That isn't all. Not only do our preacher boys who've grown up in this church watch us now to see what's going to happen, just like the boys watched Elisha after the translation of Elijah. Not only are our Hiles Anderson College boys, but they're young pastors all across America who are watching us. This has been their Mecca for these years. This church has been their headquarters. This has been the place where they come at pastor school and get their guns, their batteries charged, and get their guns loaded to go back home and fight the battle. This is where they've come once a year to get courage. This is where they've come once a year to get strength. This is where they've come once a year to get encouragement. They're watching us. If we crumble, they crumble. If we fall, they fall. We've got fundamentalism on our shoulders. I know what Mr. Sumner said, along with all the other garbage he put out. He said, that's exaggeration. He doesn't know. He's Southern Baptist now. He joined a Southern Baptist church. He doesn't know anything about fundamentalism anymore. He's not even Independent Baptist anymore. He said, I don't think you ought to call his name. Well, then you get you a church and you work for 30 years and decide what you're going to say, but you keep your nose out of my pulpit. I mean, brother, it's life or death. I mean, we're fighting to live. We're fighting to exist. Not only that, we're fighting for what we call fundamentalism in America. They're watching us. Young preachers across this nation. Listen, they've come here every year for one reason. Main reason. They come here for pastor school by the thousands. Because there's something they'd like to say to America. There's some things they'd like to speak to a great crowd. And they think that nobody's going to say it, because the big churches and the pastors of bigger churches are compromisers, they think. But they come here and they sit in this auditorium when it's packed and jammed at pastor school time, And one man gets up that's not afraid of the compromisers and pussyfooters, and he stands up and he calls our schools back to decency, and our churches back to propriety, our young ladies back to modesty, our men back to masculinity, and our churches back to the old-time gospel, and our altars back to soul winning, and altar calls, and mourners' benches. And I say what they want to say, and they sit out there and say, bless God, somebody's saying what I'd like to say. And they identify with me because what they think the preachers of America ought to hear, they're hearing. We must not betray those young preachers watching us. The Jordan River has overflowed its banks. Our Jordan River is swollen. We have a world of our own First Baptist Church preacher boys watching us. We have a world of Hiles Anderson College graduates, probably 300 or 400 pastors out yonder now, pastoring who once went to Hiles Anderson College, plus hundreds and hundreds of assistant pastors, and they're watching us. We cannot fail. We must go on. And we've got not only our own preacher boys and our Hiles Anderson College preacher boys and our young pastors, all of the young pastors all over the country, but we have the hopes of our followers. You don't know how many thousands of people. Look at me. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you tonight. Quit talking. Listen to me. You're going to talk? Go home. I got something to say. If you don't like what I'm saying, sit there. I don't like what you're doing either, some of you. Now you listen to me. There are thousands of moms and dads across America who feel that Hiles Anderson College is the only hope for their daughters and their sons when they grow up. Our standards, the protection of our young ladies, the soul-winning emphasis of an old-fashioned church, a church that's built a school rather than a school building a church. They say to me across the country, Brother Hiles, keep Hiles Anderson College like it is. I've got a daughter in junior high school. I want Hiles Anderson College not to change. By the grace of Almighty God, Hiles Anderson College will not change. Not change. They're watching us. Their hopes are in us. Not only do our own preacher boys watch us tonight as the swelling of the Jordan continues, not only do our Hiles Anderson College graduates watch us tonight, not only do young pastors all across the country watch us tonight, not only the young cynic critiquing young preacher boys in some fundamental colleges that love to see ours die, watch us tonight, but our enemies watch us tonight. And boy, they'd laugh in their, I'm sure to say beer, but Coca-Cola, if this church goes under. I'm talking about there's nothing that pleased Robert L. Sumner any more than for this church to go under. Nothing. Mr. Sumner, you can write all you want to with your poison pen. You're not going to destroy Jesus' church here on this corner. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. There's nothing that Mr. Victor Nisik would like to see more than this church to go under. Let me tell you some things he's done. He went to the state fire marshal. He went to Hiles Anderson College himself and went to every building and drew a chart of every building at Hiles Anderson College. And scanned that building with a fine-tooth comb to find every single violation he could in that building, wrote it down, had a picture of every building, a chart with building number one, building number two, building number three, and took it to the fire department and said, these are the violations. Now, he wasn't trying to keep you safe. He's trying to destroy Hiles Anderson College. And by the grace of God, he's not going to do it as long as I've got breath. He's not going to do it. Now, I put up with it for years. I put up with it when he went to the fire marshal. I put up with it when he went to the building inspectors and turned us in. I put up with it when he went to the auditors and turned us in and told the auditor that I was crooked and embezzling money from the church. He's a liar. I put up with it. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. No, listen. While I was up here preaching about the love of God and trying to encourage you and build this church, I've known what he was doing all these years. You haven't known it, but you're going to know it from now on. Yeah. That isn't all. He went to the Hammond Times. He's the one that turned us into the Hammond Times. And that isn't all. He checked the sword of the Lord, places where I was going to preach, and wrote letters to places where I was going to preach, and told the preacher all the dirty things he could think of in his fantasy like mine about Brother Hiles, and warned them of having Brother Hiles, and told them they were of the devil, and if they had Brother Hiles. That's been going on for years while you didn't know about it. I've had preacher after preacher show me letters that man has written all these years trying to smear me with places where I go to preach. That isn't all. He's gone to my dearest friends in the ministry and tried to destroy me with my dearest friends. That isn't all. A young man out in California wrote a book. He advertised it in the Sword of the Lord. He had my picture there that I endorsed that book. Mr. Nischick wrote that young man a letter and told him all the lies he could think of. I'm simply saying, I put up with it, I put up with it, I put up with it, but I'm no longer putting up with it. No longer. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. I am not going to allow a man to try to destroy the First Baptist Church of Hammond and get by with it. I'm not going to do it. The Ray Jamesons would love to see this church destroyed. They're watching us. Oh, and they're not very happy about this great crowd tonight. Let them cry. The Clifford Homes. I said it. The Clifford Homes. Look at me. Don't talk. Listen to me. Trying to destroy the First Baptist Church of Hammond. He taught an adult Sunday school class and stood up in front of that adult Sunday school class and told his class I was a false teacher and a false prophet. I didn't do anything about it. That's been years. I didn't do a thing about it. Didn't fight back at all. You wouldn't have been that patient. Don't criticize me. You wouldn't have been that patient. You wouldn't have taken it. He stood right there in that baptistry, baptizing for B Sunday School, and stood out and criticized from that baptistry right there, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and criticized Dr. Evans and Mrs. Evans and Mrs. McKinney, and called me a false teacher and a false prophet. And I put up with it. He went over to our rescue mission. Even Brother Keith McKinney will vouch for it. But our rescue mission. Stood up there in our rescue. He hadn't built anything. He didn't sweat his, give his last blood to put these buildings up. He didn't raise any money. He didn't build it. I'll say, brother, if you're going to criticize a man, build your own building to criticize it in. You say, you must be mad. I'm furious. If you don't like it, you can lump it or go hear some little fellow wears lace on his underwear preach. The funny thing, some of you folks, it was all right when he was standing up in his class and criticizing me, but now I do this, it's all of a sudden wrong. I am not, I will not let these forces of opposition destroy the First Baptist Church of Hammond without a fight to the finish. I won't. He took our college boys. Brother Ray Young will testify to this. He wanted to go visiting with our college boys on their bus routes. We let him do it. He took those boys and took them to McDonald's restaurants every Saturday afternoon and sat there with them and spread his garbage and spread his rebellion against the First Baptist Church of Hammond and this preacher and this pulpit. And I could tell you a dozen young preacher boys that left this college because they believed what he said, and now they're out of the ministry and out of college. They never amount to a single thing. Why? I'll tell you why. They didn't follow God's man. They followed some rebel. That's what they did. Our enemies are watching and hoping that we'll be destroyed. By the grace of God, the old church downtown will keep on rolling. Our enemies, Walt Hanford, George Godfrey, who goes from preacher to preacher, anybody get listen to him, tries to destroy the church. The Donna Johnsons. They're watching. They're watching. Wrote Walt Hanford a letter the other day. Give me a report about the church. I said, you'll be sorry to hear some things. I said, you'll be sorry to hear our crowds are bigger than ever. I said, you'll be sorry to hear that the First Baptist Church is having the best summer she's ever had. I said, you'll be sorry to hear that we're a united church, a church that's united. You'll be sorry to hear that. Of course they will. People that are given to our destruction are hoping we will be destroyed. But by God's grace, we've got to keep on going. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna. Christ is captain of His mighty throne. The world is watching. Those preacher boys watched as Elisha took that mantle, about ready to part the waters of the Jordan. They watched him as he took that mantle. A holy hush settled upon that whole place to see if they had any hope. Can you imagine how those young preacher boys felt who were followers of Elijah? Can you imagine how they felt when they'd seen Elijah as he'd performed miracle after miracle and God's hand had been upon him? Can you imagine how they felt when they'd seen Elijah pray down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel? Can you imagine how they felt now that Elisha takes that same mantle? I wonder what's going to happen. To some of those boys, their hopes rested in that man Elisha. To some of those boys, their hopes were that he would crumble so their compromised position could be vindicated. Not only are our enemies watching, young preachers from this church are watching. Not only are young Hiles Anderson College graduates watching, not only are there thousands of our followers across America, and we have legions of followers across America watching. Not only are the hopes of our followers watching, and not only are our enemies watching and want to laugh, but enemies, if you stood where I stand tonight, you wouldn't be laughing. If you stood where I stood this morning, you wouldn't be laughing. If you saw this altar this morning, you wouldn't be laughing. I mean, brother, every single member of this church tonight has got to give his best. Keep on moving for God and let the whole world know First Baptist Church of Hammond is alive and well. The neutral crowd is watching. The crowd that says, we'll not be for you until you prove or clear yourself. They're watching. They're watching. And by the way, that kind of crowd always checks the wind. They want to see who they think's going to win. You'd be surprised the letters I've gotten recently. Dear Dr. Hiles, at first I thought you were wrong, but now, would you forgive me? I think you're right. What they're really saying is, at first I thought you'd lose, now I think you're going to win. You give me a fellow who'll die for his loyalty and die for what he believes. Don't need these win watchers. They're watching. Those who love us are watching. Those who need us are watching. Those who have their hopes in us are watching. The unsaved are watching. And you'd be shocked if you knew what the unsaved people in Hammond think about what's going on here. I was at a drive-in grocery store the other day. I was friendly with this young lady. Tell Mr. Sumner that. He's not friendly with anybody. I was friendly with her. And she said, I was buying some cold drinks. I keep a lot of cold drinks in the refrigerator in the office, and I serve the staff members cold drinks. But anyway, look, don't blame us. We got problems. We got to have a little relaxation every once in a while. And this little lady, I'd been there before, and I bought several cartons of cold drinks, and I bought some more, and she said, you buy a lot of cold drinks, don't you? I said, yes. I said, I serve them. Folks come to my office. She said, you've been coming here a long time buying cold drinks, and I'm always friendly and cheerful. And she said, what kind of work do you do? I said, I'm an author. No, I didn't say that. I'm an educator. I said, I'm pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And just like that, she said, they're lies. They're lies. They're lies. What she said? She said, I don't go to any church, but she said, I know the Hammond Times is lying. I got a call from one of the leading attorneys in this town who said to me, he said, I have been the object of the same dirty journalism in the past, and the Hammond Times tried to destroy me, but he said they didn't, and they won't destroy you. The unsaved are watching. The city of Hammond is watching. America's watching. My mama's watching. Brother Olaf is watching. Billy Sund is watching. Dr. Rice is watching. The good summer we're having is covering the country. I go to places, everywhere I go to preach, preachers come up and say, Brother House, how you doing? I say, fine. I'm doing fine. And I'll say, hey, the church is doing fine too. They say, we know that. We've heard that. We've heard that. Yeah, the whole country knows about it. Now, wait a minute. I want you to notice what Elisha did. He's on the other side of the Jordan. He's got to get back over there to the place of his ministry. So he's got that mantle. It's fallen from Elijah. So what does he say? I don't believe in mantles. That's for the last. That's old-fashioned. Less logic with the Jordan River. Let's have some seminars on how to walk on the water. Let's have some cottage meetings where we can talk about water walking. No, sir. Elisha had more sense than this crowd's got today. Elisha said, I'm going to do exactly what Elijah did. Exactly what Elijah did. Brother, he took exactly the same mantle Elijah had and did exactly the same with it that Elijah did. Now, let me just say a few things here right now. The time has come, may as well just go ahead. The time has come for us to quit putting up with a lot of stuff that folks call fundamentalism that's not fundamentalism. I mean, let's just face it. If you're not for personal soul winning, you're not a fundamentalist. Let's just face it. Let's look it square in the eyeball. Let's face it. We've tried to save it over and we've tried to let folks criticize soul winning and criticize soul winning churches and criticize altar calls. And now one Christian camp, the director said to the people, we don't want you saying amen down here anymore. Well, that's not fundamentalism. Let's look it square in the eyeball. I mean, if you don't believe in saying amen, if you don't believe in demonstration, if you don't believe in altar calls, if you don't believe in soul winning, you're not a fundamentalist. Admit it. I said that to Mr. Hanford. I said, Walt, why don't you just admit you're not a fundamentalist? Admit it. I heard what you said at Southwide Fellowship about Mr. MacArthur, defending him, almost defending him. I said, admit you're not a fundamentalist. If you're not for the old-time religion, you're not a fundamentalist. If you're not for old-fashioned preaching, you're not a fundamentalist. Now, hear me straight now. If you are formal in your worship, you're not a fundamentalist. Nobody who preaches in a robe is a fundamentalist. Nobody. I don't care where you do it. If you preach in a robe, you're not fundamentalist. That's your woman preacher. How can you be against women wearing pants and be for men wearing dresses? Thirty years ago, I preached at a certain place, certain school. They said, we want you to close out on Sunday morning. You'll have to wear a robe. I said, not me. No way, Jose. I'm going to wear a robe. But you preach like I preach, by the time you got through with that preaching, the seat of the breeches would be around your neck, and your neck would be around your feet. Let's look it square in the eye. I mean, preaching in robes is Catholic. Let's just say it. Let the Episcopalian preach in robes. Let fundamentalists open their collars and cut loose. I say across this country, no man that has his collar buttoned is a fundamentalist. I say to Christians all across this country, if your preacher preaches on Sunday morning, has the top button buttoned, move your membership Sunday night. I mean, why don't we just look at it for a change? Quit hiding it. Let's just look at it. If it's wrong for the Pope to wear a robe, it's wrong for a so-called fundamentalist to wear a robe. Brother Hines, you're just getting awful frank. The people I'm talking about have been rather frank about me. I mean, brother, the lines are drawn. Get in or get out, get on or get off, get with it or get without it. Admit you're fundamentalist or admit you're new evangelical, one or the other. You don't have separations and standards, you're separation and standards, you're not a fundamentalist. It's a funny thing to me that we can fight and fume about an art gallery over here in Chicago having nude paintings. I don't care where the nude painting is, it's still wrong. Let's just look it square in the eyeball. I haven't got anything to lose. I'm about to go to jail anyhow. I mean, let's just take all the facade down. Look, for example, if a preacher comes and says he's a fundamentalist because he's fighting certain thing, and then that preacher goes home and sprinkles babies, he is not a fundamentalist. He's not a fundamentalist. I mean, you sprinkle a baby, you're not a fundamentalist. I don't care if you're against communism, you're not a fundamentalist. If you don't believe in invitations and altar calls, you're not a fundamentalist. And if you're for those who kick us and kick fundamentalism, you're not a fundamentalist. Elisha said, I'll do it exactly like Elijah did it. Fundamentalism wasn't built on robe-wearing preachers. Wasn't built on sevenfold amens and gloria patris. Wasn't built on that. Fundamentalism was built on, give me that old-time religion. Fundamentalism was built on amazing grace. Fundamentalism was built on at the cross where I first saw the light. You have a Sunday morning worship service and have to have Bach and Mozart and Beethoven, you're not a fundamentalist. I said you're not a fundamentalist. Let's use the old songs, tested and tried in revival fire. We've tried to tolerate a bunch of stuff. It's time to define. We're either following and our fundamentalism is following compromise into new evangelicalism because on the altar of let's don't split. Let's don't divide. I want to make a statement. I'm not for anybody splitting. I'm not advocating a split because I done been split myself. I didn't split. They split me. But I want to say this. Fundamentalism has survived through the years because fundamentalists have been willing to break off from the people when they got liberal. Wouldn't be any independent Baptist. It's sort of silly for people, independent Baptists, say, let's don't split. Why do you think we got here? For years, I've said to great crowds across this nation what young preachers have wanted me to say. And people have tolerated me because they knew I had a following in this country. And they wanted my following. Now then that the notices of my death have been placed in the obituary columns, they have decided I don't have a crowd anymore, and they don't need me. So let's just choose up sides. We have popped, listen, people who hate what we stand for operate many of their ministries because we got the people saved, we got the people right with God, and they went to their ministries and populated their ministries, and they kept us, and many folks kept me speaking on their programs because they needed the folks that would come to hear me preach. They've been using us. And we've been nice, and we've tried to be nice, and we've tried to cover up, but there's no need to cover up anymore. I'm saying, brother, the whole world's watching us tonight. The whole world. Young preacher boys, just like they watched Elisha, they're watching us. Our boys that grew up here in First Baptist Church of Hammond, the other day, I got a letter from one of our own missionaries. I'm talking about one of our own missionaries from First Baptist, one of our own boys, sent me a check for $200. Said, this is for your fight. Got a check from one of our missionaries the other day for $1,000. Said, this is for your battle. They're watching us. You know why? Because, brother, they know. Look, they know. Let me give you an example. There's a young pastor in St. Louis. Came to see me and said God had called him in the mission work. I said, young? The fellow's probably 35, 40 years old, which is very, very young. But he came and told me. Now, this is in the last few weeks. Do you know that in one day at First Baptist, I gave him a list of folks that were our followers. In one day, that fellow got 63 speaking invitations. Just because he That was recommended by Brother Hiles in First Baptist Church of Hammond. They're watching us. That's why you need to get your Sunday school class and build it and build it and build it and build it. That's why your bus route need not be neglected. People often ask me, Brother Hiles, what can I do for you right now? I'll tell you what you can do. You can make a record attendance in that Sunday school class. You can build the biggest bus route you've ever had in your life. Let the world who watches us, some wanting our success and their hopes rest in us and some hoping for our demise, let them watch us! I'll tell you this story and I'll quit. True story. Dr. Evans told me yesterday after Dr. Jorgensen heard it. I won't call the name of this preacher, but if I called his name, everybody in this room would know it. He was on the airplane a few days ago. Sat beside, was it a man? A lady. Okay. Is it one or the other? Though there is another gender now. So many things going through my mind right now, I better not say. I told this last night at the ordination. Dr. Jorgensen says a lady. This lady did not know that this preacher was a preacher. Time came to serve the meal on the airplane. This preacher ate the meal. Bear in mind that the lady did not know he was a preacher. She didn't eat. My preacher brother looked over to her and said, are you not eating? She said, I'm fasting. Don't miss this. I'm fasting. He said, oh, you must be a Christian then. She said, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Satan worshiper. He said, why are you fasting? She said, because we Satan worshipers in this area are fasting and praying. And praying for Satan to do something. She pulled out a piece of paper. She said, we're praying for Satan. We're fasting and praying for Satan to destroy these men. She showed him a list of 50 preachers, and the preacher said, you'd know every one of them. There are 50 of us on that list. And she said, we're praying and fasting to Satan for the destruction of these men. Our battle is not against a few men or a newspaper. Our battle is against the prince of the power of the air and principalities and powers. Some of you out there are trembling right now. My soul, what if the devil answers their prayer? They give you a scripture. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're being watched tonight. The world is watching us. Now, you have got to take your end of this thing. And you got to make it go. Whatever job or office or position you have in this church, you've got to make yourself feel as if the whole responsibility is on your shoulders. And by the way, it is. This crowd we have here tonight, it's not because of what one man has done. This crowd's because of people all over this room tonight who have said, I'm going to do my best to see to it the Old First Baptist Church has a great summer. I'm calling you to arms. I'm asking you not to get tired and not to get weary. I do not like to preach like I preach tonight. I'd rather preach what I preach this morning. I don't enjoy it anymore. Listen to me. No talking, please. I didn't like to go to the army in World War II, but it was necessary. I get up every morning. And I say to myself, there's a battle raging. I've got to make myself go to it. I don't want to go to it. I don't like it. But brother, there's a country watching me. They watch me like a hawk. The hardest trip I take every week is to the platform on Monday night where I preach. Because they're watching me. I feel like Lazarus must have felt when he was raised from the dead. They're watching me. I don't like it. But it's here. There's nothing to do but quit or fight. And you're not looking at a quitter. I'm too old to fight. I don't want to fight. By the grace of God, I want 10 years after I'm in heaven, I want on Sunday night, I want an old-fashioned, rip-snorting, hell-raising preacher to be up here behind this pulpit. And I want this place to be filled like it's filled tonight. And I want these altars filled. And if it's that way after I'm gone, some of us are going to have to fight to keep it that way while I'm alive. Stand up! Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. It's time for an illustration I haven't used in a year or two. It was Thomas Paine, I think. Notorious atheist. Spent his life trying to disprove the Bible and the God of the Bible. Was preaching in a great Colosseum, had main floor, first balcony, second balcony, 5,000 people were there, much like this auditorium is tonight. Thomas Paine swayed that crowd with his heresy, his atheism. He'd raise his voice, they'd sit on the edge of their seats, he'd lower it, and they'd wait for the next word. Every time he'd breathe, they'd breathe. Every time he'd speak, they would listen more intently. He swayed that crowd. He came to the finish of his message, or his talk, and he said, I have conclusively disproved the existence of a God. I dare anybody in this building to stand up and try to prove there's a God after what I've said. I dare you! Stand up, he said! There was a hush settled across that great sea of faces. And finally, way back up in the balcony on the back row, a little 17-year-old girl stood to her feet. And in a sweet soprano voice, began to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Wasn't long till her entire section was singing it. Wasn't long till the entire balcony was standing up singing, stand up for Jesus. Wasn't long till the lower balcony joined, and then the lower floor. And then that great crowd of 5,000 people were singing loudly and in unison, stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men, now serve him against unnumbered foes, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord of all. Not a tear, not a dry in the house. When they finished singing, somebody said, what happened to Thomas Paine? Somebody stood behind the microphone or behind the podium and said, he ran off when the little lady began to stand up for Jesus. They're watching us. And many a preacher will lose his hope if we crumble. And I don't mean disband the church. I mean if we don't keep on moving with their model. This is their Jerusalem, their Mecca. And for many thousands of them, forgive me for saying it, but they look to me for leadership. They write me and say, Brother House, don't quit. They write me and plead, say, oh, Brother House, please keep on going. What will happen to our kind of fundamentalism if you turn back? They're watching Elisha. They're watching that mantle. They're watching that river. And they're waiting. And they're waiting. And they're waiting. Our Heavenly Father.